Okay, now that we've finished with all the Choshev announcements, we can start. Okay. Abutavach, Shalom Aleichem. We're in Chodesh Halavavis, Shalom Bitochen, the beginning. So, I want to build off what we did last week. That is, we're approaching Bitochen from the beginning. We kind of jumped to the middle to lay down the principles of Bitochen in a clear way in order to really work with it properly. Bitochen, in essence, means moving through life secure in the knowledge that I'm in the best of hands. Moving through life feeling that I'm being carried by Hashem, which should provide a feeling of absolute security, absolute calm. Of course, it's not as simple as that. That's why Bitochen is what we might call a lifetime career. Now, in order to just make it a little more approachable, we'll briefly recap the principles that we saw last week. Again, this is something that we'll be repeating endlessly. And that is that Bitochen does not mean Bitochen does not mean knowing what's going to happen. It doesn't mean that I'm facing the question is, will I get the job or not? And I have confidence, I have faith that I'll get the job, I'll get the job. That's not what Bitochen is. This is something that you see clearly in Chodesh Halvavos. The Chazon Ish lays this down. What is Bitochen? Bitochen is the understanding that Hashem loves you intensely, is always focused on you, and knows what's best for you. This is in brief. So we elaborated, we spent the whole shiur last time elaborating on this. But for our purposes, just in order to move further, it's remembering that the all-capable Hashem, you can do whatever you want. There isn't anything outside of his ability. And you are number one on his priority list. What do you mean you are number one on his priority list? There are about 15 people sitting here. How can I say that you are number one on his priority list? And there are millions of other Jews out there. But the answer is that yes, every Jew is the center of his attention. It doesn't work for human beings, but it does work for Hashem. Every Jew is, Hashem is intensely focused on with love, and he is navigating your life according to the best plan for you, including your neshama. And the understanding that, whereas we, whenever we're concerned about a particular situation, all we're encompassing is the here and now. It can even be an expanded here and now. We might be thinking in terms of the year. We might be thinking in terms of 2 years. It's very difficult for us to really be thinking in terms of the next 30 years of my life. But Hashem, when he's busy navigating every step of your life, he's taking into account the full 120 years of Bezos Hashem and beyond. Shouldn't say 120. Moshe Feinstein was opposed to limiting it to that. Bezos Hashem, all of us at least 150. I think that's already a bracha. Okay, but even more than that, it's also beyond anything that's going on in your life. You might be thinking in terms of, we'll be thinking in terms of, how does this work? How's this going to work for me today? How's this going to work for me next week? How's it going to work for me next year? Now, you usually go much further than that. Whereas Hashem is busy planning, I'm doing this now because of what I have in mind for 15 years from now. Or I'm doing this now because of what I have in mind for after you begin your real life in the next world. This is going to put your neshama into a much better place. So this is what Bitochen is. It's that understanding that I'm in the best of hands. I'm in better hands than my own. Hands that understand my neshama, understand my good, that know better, much better than me what's good for me. And therefore, even if, Chalila, I find myself in a painful situation, the understanding that it's not because Hashem lost track, chas v'shalom. It's, you've been through painful situations before in your life. When you were born, you were squeezed through a very tight little space, which was much less comfortable than previously, right? Before that, it was comfortable in the 9 months preceding that. You were forced through this narrow place, very tight, and all of a sudden, boom, you were popped out into cold air, started crying. You didn't know what's going on. That was a painful situation. But Hashem was planning the next stage of your life. You moved on to begin a realer stage of life. So this is really the idea. Bitochen is the security in the knowledge that we are in the best of hands. And again, if we're going to keep it brief now, because I've always laid down 7 points, but just to focus on those points. Hashem loves me intensely. He's constantly focused on me intently. And he can do whatever he wants, right? There's no situation where Hashem says, oh, I'm stuck now. Chas v'shalom. Whatever we're going through is because Hashem is putting me through this, because this is best for me and he knows better than me. He has a better plan for me than I would have for myself. That is, in a broad way, how we approach this. Now we come back to what we're up to in Chavis Havav. It's the beginning, the psicha, Tishah B'Tach. And what Chavis Havav is doing here is going through what are the spiritual benefits of B'Tachim, and how does it help you in Ruchnius, and how does it help you in Gashmius, how does it help you materially? So again, to recap, I think it's worthwhile to spend this time recapping just in order to be able to move on smoothly. Purpose number one of Bitachon is, this is very fundamental, purpose number one of Bitachon is we owe it to Hashem. Before we start talking about that it'll help us get through trying situations, before we start talking about Bitachon as a, if you will, a coping mechanism, it's something much more important than that. You have a relationship with Hashem. You have a real, live, tangible relationship with Hashem. One thing he expects of you, and part of that relationship is, trust me. I take care of you in so many ways. It's part of, if we'll call it this, if we'll use this term, it's an issue of menschlichkeit toward Hashem. Hashem is busy taking care of us in so many ways, right? When's the last time we had to take a step back and wonder, taking a deep breath now, are the oxygen cells really going to manage to get to all the different parts of my body? Who's going to make sure it does, right? Hashem says, I'm doing that. Breath after breath that you take is a whole operation on my part, right? Every time you eat a meal, do you start wondering how the food is really going to be broken down properly? You swallow and then you forget about it. You move on, right? For the next few hours, Hashem is intensely busy with you. Say galuy v'yadua lifnei chisei chavoydecha. Right, we say in Asher Yotzar. Asher Yotzar is a most profound, beautiful bracha on the functioning of our body. Right? You say, and here we mention that Kisei HaKavod, right? Hashem on his throne of glory, it's known to him that if anything that's supposed to be closed gets open, anything that's supposed to be open gets sealed up, we're in big trouble. We wouldn't be able to last. Where does the Kisei HaKavod come in? Why are we stressing Hashem on his throne of glory? But the point is, we want to appreciate this. Yes, Hashem on his Kisei HaKavod is busy tending to the insides of my body to make sure that I'm living comfortably. Because you should realize that when you have an experience of a functioning of the body, an everyday experience, close your eyes for a minute and say, I just felt Hashem's care for me. I just felt Hashem's care for me. The more we learn to feel Hashem's involvement in our life, the more we can move on to the next step. I mean, and it's on so many different fronts, so many different fronts. There we go back to Shara B'china, right? Where he trained us to start noticing how we're drowning in Hashem's constant care, which we don't naturally notice as we move through life. We have encounters with Hashem every so often when the trouble comes our way, we wonder why Hashem did it. But the first step back and say, what about all the things Hashem is doing for me 24/7? When we appreciate that, we move to the next stage of, I am in very good hands. And if now something gets a little complicated, I understand that this is Hashem putting me through some other experience that is part of his plan for my ultimate good. It's the best thing that could possibly be for me. Again, we'll be repeating this often throughout the Shah. This is easier said than done. But that's why we're here. We're here to utilize the opportunity to talk when it's easy in order to really ingrain these things and to Bezos Hashem be well equipped to use them if Chalila the going gets tough. But let's remember that Bitachon is not just for when the going gets tough. Bitachon is for me to walk out of here today feeling, wow, it's so nice to be in the best of hands. I'm being cared for in so many ways. Think about the different things that are right in your life and think that's because Hashem is constantly carrying me. Whether in just in terms of the way my body is functioning, whether in terms of whatever, we all have brachas in our life that sometimes we need to step up our awareness in order to notice them. So that's number one. What is purpose number one of bitachon? Purpose number one of bitachon is, it's another fundamental dynamic in our relationship with Hashem. We understand that gratitude is a fundamental dynamic in that relationship. We understand that ahava, yira, right, emuna, these are all dynamics in a relationship. This is not a collection, a list of mitzvahs, of unconnected mitzvahs. These are all parts of a relationship. So like in a relationship with a parent, relationship with a spouse, there's all these different aspects to it. In a relationship with Hashem, we have what the Chavis Halvavis calls the Chavis Halvavis, the duties of the mind and heart, emuna, ahava, yira, hakaras hatoiv, etc. Bitachon is another dynamic in that relationship. If we really are living with Hashem in a tangible way, He expects us to trust Him. So that's purpose number one of bitachon. Now we move on. First, he's going to be listing the ruchnius benefits of bitachon, the ruchnius purposes of bitachon, and then he'll move on to discuss the gashmius, the material benefits of bitachon, how it benefits us in that way. So, we're beginning the paragraph that starts Umehem. This is benefit number two. And here we're getting, if you will, a little more technical in terms of how bitachon helps us in our ruchnis. Umehem shabotech be'elokim. If you don't have a sefer, don't worry. We refer to the sefer here and there just in order to... Okay. Habateach be'elokim, a person who lives with true bitachon, with that real sense of Hashem is guiding my life, I'm in His hands. Yivienu havtachosai olav, so that bitachon, that sense of security, brings me to a place that shelo ya'avoid zulasai, that I don't worship anyone else. What does that mean? This is a theme that the Chavis Halvavis, we're going to be seeing it all throughout Shaar Bitachon. The Chavis Halvavis has a sharp term. He extends the concept of Avodah Zarah to something that could be really, very relevant in our life. He says, let's say, for example, again, don't get scared by this. This is the Chavis Halvavis is introducing us to high standards and to much more refined levels of thinking. Let's say you have a boss, and this is a job that's very important to me, and therefore I invest a lot of mental and emotional energy in ensuring that my boss is pleased with me at all costs, because I can't afford to lose this job. The Chavis Halvavis says, okay, so basically you have two sources of care. There are two forces caring for you. There's Hashem and there's your boss. And he calls that, he kind of refers to it as Avodah Zarah B'Shituf, like kind of having, so to speak, another God. Now that's very harsh, but let's understand that he doesn't mean to say that, you know, there's a death penalty of stoning for a person who worships idolatry. So yes, if a person has that kind of relationship with his boss, he can be brought to Bezdin and put to death. That's not what he means to say. There's a principle here. There's a principle that all of the different big averis in the Torah have much more subtle levels, right? We say that you're not allowed to murder. I don't know if anybody here owns a gun, Michlal. There are other ways of doing it too. But we're told that shaming somebody falls under that category. Again, will a person be put to death in Bezdin for shaming somebody? No, we're talking about a more refined level. But the Torah expects us to understand the concept behind the prohibition and to take it to the more and more and more refined levels. Right? So here also we're saying, Avodah Zarah says not to have somewhere else where that I worship in terms of I have to make sure that this other entity in my life is always pleased. I have to be giving offerings all the time, whether it's flattery, whether it's presents, etc., to ensure that this person is pleased with me. It's not a good idea. It would definitely be a problem with ishtablis to go and insult your boss on a regular basis. That's not a good idea. And you should definitely act like a mensch. And you should definitely also show hakaras hatov for your boss, but don't be emotionally dependent on him. Now, again, this is a tall order. We're going to be introducing ourselves to a lot of tall orders as we go along. And we will be working slowly toward bringing the points home. But here we're being introduced to this concept for the first time. Emotionally, mentally, we should see Hashem as the source of our care. Now, we have to do ishtadlis. We'll discuss that at length as we go along, to make sure that we aren't being negligent in taking care of our own concerns, right? And that's why you should act like a mensch to your boss. But if it reaches an extent where mamish, like it might compete with my observance of halacha because I have to keep my boss pleased, then it starts becoming a problem, which the Chavis of Avos calls a subtle, gentle aspect, which is kind of in the realm of idolatry. Okay, I hope that's clear, because otherwise it can be a little bit like startling. So he says, when a person is true bitachon, lo yikave le'ish, v'lo yeyachel le'bnei adam, v'lo ya'avdim le'isratzu yisaleim, he's not going to have his mind on, I need to keep this person pleased, or so-and-so, I really want to show up in his will. So therefore, I have to make sure, you know, religiously, you know, daven shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv 3 times a day, and there's also the 2 cakes that I bring over. I want to bring a cake over, that's very nice. But if the idea is, I have to be on that person's will, right? And therefore, those 2 cakes have to happen every week. So this is where you are putting your hope into another person, right? You know the story about the guy who always wanted to be mentioned in Uncle Harry's will? And then finally when Uncle Harry passed away, and he says, and to my dear nephew Bob, who always wanted to be mentioned in my will. Hi, Bob. Right? So he won't put his energies into pleasing people. V'lo yaskim imayim bevilti avodas Hashem. The point really being that he'll never compromise his standards in order to keep this person pleased. He'll never do something that goes against Rotzon Hashem in order that this person should be pleased with me, that he should be happy with me. That's really the point. He won't be concerned about what's going to happen if I mess up with this person. This person will make my life miserable. I'll lose my parnasa. It'll mess me up socially. And therefore, I have to do whatever it takes to keep this person happy with me, to keep this person's good graces. He won't be scared of conflict with them. For example, I'll give a few different examples. I'm going to give the example of a boss. This is a very relevant example. Right? Chafetz Chaim gives this example in his discussion of Hilchos Lashon Hara. Boss calls you in and asks you, I heard that yesterday at the lunch break, somebody said something not nice about me. I want to know who that person was. There's an isser for you to reveal that. You're not allowed to reveal that. Right? But you don't want to anger your boss. This is a classic case of what the Chavis of Avos is talking about. The Chafetz Chaim says, you're not allowed to tell. This is one of those situations where a person might have to lose money so as not to transgress an Avera. Right? Now, you have to know, sometimes if it's an issue of the functioning of the business, and you have to ask a Shaila. But it's just a personal issue, right? The boss wants to know, who was it that said that about me? So here, unequivocally, the halacha is, you're not allowed to tell him who it is. What if I lose my job? So here the Chavis of Avos says, when a person is operating with true bitachon, he says, this is something that Hashem placed in my path now. And if I have full faith that Hashem is the one caring for me, then I'm just going to tell my boss, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. I might lose my job, it's in Hashem's hands. Now, you have to distinguish, right? If you're expected to be at work at 9 o'clock, and that's the deal. And it's much more convenient to show up at a quarter to 11. And you say, I'm not worried about being fired. My job is in Hashem's hands. That is not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're talking about here. That's part of Hashem expects you to do your ishtadlus diligently, as we'll discuss. But when it clearly does conflict with what Hashem wants, it's keeping the boss pleased versus keeping Hashem pleased. Here he says, Bitachon will help you do what you need to do. This is Hashem placing this in my path. If he wants me to have parnasa, I'll have it even if the boss is mad at me. And if he doesn't, then that's his decision for me, but I know what he wants me to do. And I'm going to do it confidently. So that, he's saying, is benefit number two of Bitachon. Bitachon will enable you to just stick tenaciously to Ratzon Hashem, to the will of Hashem, without being worried about, is it going to anger this one? Is it going to upset that one? It's relevant in all kinds of different ways. We get an example, the boss is the classic example. But you know what happens when you're sitting at a family setting? Sitting in a family setting, right? And then there's the relative with the sharp tongue, the cousin with the sharp tongue, who's starting to speak about this one and speak about that one, right? And, you know, you're supposed to laugh. Otherwise, she'll rip into you. The halacha doesn't allow you to laugh, right? Really, the halacha wants you to speak up and say you shouldn't be saying that. Oh, and then you know that you're going to be the next target of the joke, right? So again, if a person has bitachon and says, I don't have to be concerned about this person. Hashem is going to take things where he wants. And Hashem controls social matters also, right? Hashem is going to take things where he wants. If he wants me to be messed up with this person, it won't hurt me in any way. And therefore, I'll say what I need to say, or at the very least, right? Chafetz Chaim goes through this also. At the very least, not to grin. At the very least, just to maintain a poker face. Walk away if you can. Maybe it'll be a little too tough to walk away, like, I don't want to be hearing this, but suddenly get an important phone call. Or whatever it is. I won't sit there and smile, because I'm in Hashem's hands. I don't care what this person is going to think of me. What Hashem wants comes first. So what's he telling us? Bitachon makes it possible for us to put Hashem's will before our concern for anybody around us, however it'll affect us. I think we've probably already mentioned in another shiurim that one of the real classic examples that we had of this, you know what, I was a rav for a short amount of time. That's a big issue when you're in that kind of position. You have 200 people around you, and you want them to be pleased with you, right? And it's not pashut. Part of your job is to make people feel good. It's part of the mission. On the other hand, the ability to be able to say when something is wrong, it's wrong. When something is right, it's right. And if it's going to ruffle people's feathers, make people displeased, say, okay, this is the Ratzon Hashem. it's a tough business. I started saying the classic example that we had of this in the previous generations was the Beis HaLevi, the father of the Brisk dynasty, right? The Beis HaLevi. When he became the Rav, his first rabbinic position was in Slutsk. And he personified Leisagu Mipnei Ish, fear no man, no matter how influential, doesn't matter if they hold the keys to your parnasa, etc. Doesn't matter if they hold the keys to your prestige. So when he first got his position, and he hadn't been a rabbi before, he had been the Korosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. And his name was spreading as, you know, rising stars in the Torah world. And Slutsk knew that they were getting a very, very heavy-duty Torah great. And they came to him with the first shaila, the first, you know, complicated question that came up. They came to their new Rav, Beis HaLevi, heard the question, he said, I don't know. Okay, a little disturbing that that's like the debut, right? The first time. Okay, then the next question came up. Next serious communal question that came to the Beis HaLevi again. I don't know. When it happened the third time, the heads of the community started getting a little nervous. They heard all kinds of things about him. Maybe they got the wrong person. It was really being said about his brother. What? So they got a little concerned. And okay, they decided they're going to respectfully bring it up with the Beis Halevi himself. So they had a meeting with him, and he was waiting for it. He greeted them with a smile, and he said, Aboisai, I'll be able to answer your questions. But first thing I wanted to do is impress on myself and impress upon you that there's such a thing as the Rav not knowing. Now that we've established that, don't worry, I'll be able to answer your questions. That was the Beis Halevi with one of his more friendly implementations of I operate only with the fear of Hashem and not with the fear of any man. There were others where he was known to make a point of view, almost like it almost seemed like he had a certain discrimination. The powerful, influential, wealthy people in the city, he maintained a certain aloofness, a certain distance, while the despised, the needy, those, Imamish had no, there was no heirs, there was no anything. He was their best friend. He used to go over and sit among them in shul. And after the people had more influence, then he kind of kept them at arm's length. When he first became the Rav, I forget if this was in Slutsk or Brisk. I went from Slutsk, he went to Brisk. Ended up having to leave Slutsk because of this Hanhaga. It didn't work for the Kehila there. But I forget if it was Slutsk or Brisk. When he first became the Rav, he was invited by all the heads of the Kehila. And apparently the way it worked in many of the communities in Europe then was that were different shuls for different professions. And apparently there was like the cobbler's shul and the tailor's shul and the banker's shul and all the different professions have their different shuls. Now you can imagine that the banker's shul did not look the same as the cobbler's shul, right? You can also imagine that their voice was not equally represented when it came to city affairs, right? So you had the bankers and you had the merchants, right? And I don't know whoever else. And then you had, you know, the humble ones. So when they came to the Beis Halevi with the offer that he should become the Rav, and he accepted, and he came to the town, and they had a reception for him, and they brought him a scroll, like welcoming him in the name of the community, the city. And on it was signed, you know, like the dignitaries of the Kehila. There was the representative of the banker's shul, and there was the representative of the merchant's shul and whatever else there was there. So he's reading it, you know, at the reception, and he looks up and he says, I don't understand. My appointment was not unanimous, it was controversial. They looked at him and they said, Why do you say that? He said, How come the cobbler's, there isn't the representative of the cobbler's shul here? They didn't agree to my appointment? How come there isn't the representative of the tailors? How come there isn't the representative of the water carriers? And they looked at him like, what do you mean? Why do we need them? They're not a part of the decision-making processes. So I can't accept an appointment unless it's, I need to see that. No, the cobblers want me also. And that the tailors want me also. I can't accept such a, this is not an acceptable Ksav Rabbanus. This angered the influential people in Slutsk. But this is what we're talking about. This is one of the benefits of Bitachon, the understanding that I don't need to be. So he was our example of this, right? He made a proactive business out of showing that. So I don't know if we need to necessarily say, all right, let me start seeing what I can do to annoy my boss. But we're seeing the concept, okay? Just to take it back to our level. We're seeing the concept that one of the benefits of Bitachon is the understanding that I don't depend on anybody's goodwill. I definitely want to be giving people good feelings. Why? Because Hashem wants me to do that. Because I should be caring to the other person. I want to be showing gratitude for the people who are benefiting me in a way of, I want to be a mensch, right? But not in a way of, I better make sure that this letter is effusive enough if I want a similar present next Hanukkah, right? That not. And certainly not if it's, okay, if I have to cut certain corners in order to keep this person happy, cut certain corners and standards and halacha. If I have to lower my language a little bit when I'm around this person in order that they should, you know, feel comfortable with me, if I'm going to or Lashon Hara, or the way I dress, whatever it is. So here we say, Bitochen says, you don't need this person socially, you don't need this person financially. You keep Hashem pleased, knowing that He'll take care of whatever it is. You're in His plan, you're in His hands. Go with His plan for you. So that is benefit number two of Bitochen. Purpose number two of Bitochen. To be able to throw away that need to make sure that this one is pleased, that one is pleased, and therefore to have to adjust my moral standards, my halachic standards, etc. to these. No. The one, my person, the only one who I have to make sure that he is optimally pleased is Hashem, and everything else follows his ratzon in that sense. Okay. So, he quotes a few psukim to this effect. Just cite one or two, right? The Navi, quotes from the Navi. The Navi was the classic example of the man who had to embody this. The Navi was constantly being sent to Klal Yisrael with unpopular messages. Not just being sent to Klal Yisrael with unpopular messages. He was being sent to very, very powerful people with unpopular messages. He was being sent to kings with messages that they did not want to hear, right? And in the earlier times, the Navi was always greeted with absolute awe and reverence. Right? Look at the way David HaMelech took the note that nowhere else they have such a concept that someone can come in and blast the monarch, right? And blast the monarch, and the monarch just lowers his head and takes it humbly. That is a characteristic of our great past. Nasan HaLavi comes into David HaMelech and slams him over the head. And David HaMelech just lowers his head and takes it. That's what made David HaMelech into the man he was. But as the years went by, and as things deteriorated, things changed. And the Nevi'im were persecuted. And kings had them arrested for humiliating them, for accusing them. And therefore, the Navi was one of those examples. He was probably epitomized this concept of where a person knows that he's operating with Hashem and is not worried about what messing up with anybody is going to do to him. So Hashem Elokim Yazor Li, Yeshaya Novi says, Hashem Elokim Yazor Li, Hashem is aiding me. Al kein loy nichlamti, therefore I'm not ashamed. Al kein samti ponai kachalomish, therefore I make my face like a flint stone. It's just a hard stone. I'm worried about. My face is not vulnerable, not to shame, not to arrows, not to anything. It's like a flintstone. I'm not worried about being ashamed. Omar, Hashem says to Yechezkel, Al tira mehem umidivrem al tira. Don't fear them, don't fear their words, etc. So that is number two, purpose number two of Bitach. To be able to move out of the way, my concern, for having to please other people, having to keep them happy, etc. Whether that means cutting corners, social ends, financial ends, etc. Purpose number three, or Ruchni is benefit number three of Bitach. Well, mayhem. Number three is Shabbateach Belekim. When a person has true Bitach in Hashem, Yivieu Bitchoinoi Lefanes Esliba Minyone Ha'ilam. He will be able to set aside material concerns and to just dedicate himself to his avodas Hashem. What does this mean? What this means is as follows. If we'll say it in a very broad way, which is not lamaisa, I'm making that clear before we proceed. This is not lamaisa, just to illustrate the concept, and then we'll refine it a little bit to more lamaisa. The person says, if I have to be working all day, I won't be able to daven with the proper Yishuv Hadas. And therefore, but I have to make parnasa, I'm not worried about that. I'm going to serve Hashem, I won't worry about parnasa. Now, like I said before, that's not a practical example, that's the concept. But on the contrary, Hashem, puts us to a harder test. He says, no, I am imposing upon you to worry about your panasa. But I want you to be able to do it with full faith that if you do it according to my will, I'll care for you. This is the, we're going to get into that later. Again, all the dynamics of ishtavlus is a very complex subject. We'll get to that. But right now, let's put it into more practical terms. Okay, you have a fellow who's working hard in order to make his parnasa. He understands that that's what Hashem wants from him. He understands that that's what Hashem wants from him. You have two people who are putting in a full day's work. One is doing it as a baal bitachon, and the other is not. Just to illustrate the difference between them, what Chavos HaLevavos is this talking about here. The one person, let's say, you know what? Going out for minyan three times a day, I'd be able to get more accomplished in the office if I don't do that. So here is an example of where we say, no, Hashem wants you to work, but he also wants you to go out to minyan three times a day. Are you able to say, well, if this is what Hashem wants, then it's not going to conflict with his plan for me? Yeah, even though it looks like I could be closing more deals in this time, I'm setting all that aside right now. Shachris time is Shachris time. Mincha time is Mincha time. Ma'ariv is Ma'ariv. I stop what I'm doing. I go out there. That is bitachon, right? Whereas the person without bitachon says, one minute, it's a matter of whether the deal will get done or not. So bitachon enables the person that when Hashem wants it of him, again, I'm stressing that, Hashem expects you to be involved in caring for your material matters. Big subject, leaving it for later. But the question is, when Hashem does expect it of you, we have ways of knowing when it's expected of you and when not. One of the ways of knowing is Shulchan Aruch. When Hashem expects it of you, will you be capable of just saying, now I'm setting aside my material concerns? You know, Shabbos, this was very relevant with Shabbos, right? Shabbos, are you capable of saying, I do my ishtadlus because Hashem wants me to. He's going to do what he has in mind for me. On Shabbos, I set it all aside, and I'm just dedicating myself to Hashem's will. Sunday morning, I'll be back in the office. This is purpose number three of bitachon. When a person is living with real bitachon, when Hashem's will demands it of him, he'll be capable of just setting aside any of the material concerns that he might have, realize that it doesn't depend on my efforts. It's up to Hashem. When he wants me to step away and do something else, I'm capable of doing that comfortably. Okay, we'll stop here for this week, Be'ezos Hashem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A good tovach.
Thank you. A good tovach.
Rabbi.